KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the film screening of Warrior, The Life of Leonard Peltier, Saturday, February 6th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Warrior tells the true story of Leonard Peltier, the American Indian leader locked away for life in Leavenworth Penitentiary. Warrior takes us back to the violent confrontations at Pine Ridge and Wounded Knee in the 70s, and through Peltier's harrowing odyssey through the American justice system. Leonard's son, Chauncey Peltier, will hold a Q&A after the film. Again, that's Warrior, The Life of Leonard Peltier, Saturday, February 6th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Chris Andre with Air Cascadia. What?
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, February 3rd, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Great guests today. We've got Nick Cady joining us with Cascade Wildlands. This is breaking news. Conservation groups have filed a lawsuit today challenging the authority of the Federal Wildlife Killing Program. Wildlife Services is scheduled to kill any of the approximately 81 remaining gray wolves in Oregon. The legal challenge filed by the Western Environmental Law Center on behalf of four conservation groups, the Cascadia Wildlands, representing itself. This comes weeks after a federal court ruled that Wildlife Services' controversial wolf-killing program in Washington is illegal. And our second guest today is Chauncey Peltier. He will be joining us, talking a little bit more. He's on his way, actually, to Florida right now at the moment. He'll be speaking to us at the airport as he awaits his flight. And he, of course, son of Leonard Peltier. He runs an art gallery and ceaselessly, tirelessly, constantly advocates on behalf of Leonard Peltier, who recently had an aneurysm. He is not well. Many listeners may recall when they hear that name, Leonard Peltier, are pictures from Pine Ridge taken many, many years, dare I say decades ago. And that was Leonard as a young man. He is not well. He is elderly. The questions were raised after the bogus trial have never been adequately addressed, and it is abundantly evident to most reasonable people that he is not guilty. He's simply being kept imprisoned in order to silence his very presence. His voice, however, reverberates throughout tribal nations and through the country as a whole. Anywhere anyone has a conscience. On June 26, two FBI agents died in a shootout at the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. Despite lacking sufficient evidence, the FBI accused Peltier of the murders. During the trial, the prosecution withheld ballistics evidence presented false testimony. They were absolutely bent upon framing Pelchi for the incident. And as a result, April 1977, Pelchi was convicted and charged with two life sentences. 1977, that's what, 40, 50 years ago. But then, at this point, who's counting? We're going to have Nick Cady on in just a moment to talk about the wolves. And he is with us now. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Chris.
Thank you so much for being with us today. First, if you want to just briefly summarize what this lawsuit is about, and then we'll move on to some of the greater implications of predators in our diminishing wildlands and in the culture.
Sure. Wildlife Services is a federal agency. It's part of the Department of Agriculture, and it's really its sole job is to kill wildlife. It kills, you know, roughly 1.5 million to 3 million native animals a year, and this is bears, wolves, mountain lions, otters, foxes, beavers, birds, and there's also been a rash of them killing, accidentally killing domestic pets lately. But what this lawsuit does is it federal law requires this agency to conduct full and fair kind of investigations and evaluations of the ecological impacts of this killing program and whether or not this killing program is effective. And it just really has not been doing this. And so that's kind of what our case is alleging, is that they failed to do a fair or meaningful analysis of the effects of what it's doing.
So, yeah, that's there are other questions too that we should be asking, and that first that comes to mind though is the role that larger predators play in our lives on the planet. Many have suggested that we are heading towards a monoculture of only human beings because habitat for large predators has been so corrupted, diminished. People say, well, as long as you can see a wolf standing off on a hill, it's got plenty of room. No, these animals need enormous, vast spaces, and that just doesn't exist. There is a very valid argument that can be backed up, easily backed up by the evidence in front of us, that when the habitat is gone, the animal is dead. They're the walking wounded. They're the walking dead. Habitat is the animal. The animal is the habitat. And let's not forget the importance of these animals to Indigenous people, to First Nations. I know that in Montana, that First Nations people regard buffalo as family members. And when a buffalo is killed, it is mourned. Just the same way that a family member would be mourned. Can you talk a little bit about the role of predators?
Right. Well, predators have an incredibly important and well-documented kind of ecological benefits to, you know, a variety of habitats and ecosystem. And with wolves particularly, this has been extensively studied and documented, primarily in Yellowstone National Park. But you have instances where the reintroductions of wolves, you know, led to, you know, trickle-down effects and benefits for salmon species, and it had effects on the behavior of ungulates of deer and elk, and it led to bigger growth along rivers, which had positive effects on songbird populations that had dwindled out. I mean, there's just a myriad of effects, beneficial effects for the environment that a top predator like the wolf has. And so that's we're hoping that ecological benefit comes to Oregon with the beginning recovery of wolves in this state. You know, we only have 80 some odd wolves, and this federal agency is proposing to kill them mainly to benefit ranching interests. You know, we have, you know, cattle, and we have, you know, 2.5 million cattle in the state or something.
Well, I think we're all too familiar with the harm done by ranchers extending and I think that quite a bit we've had a recent experience has shown that ranchers are nothing but a deadly force in the environment, and Perhaps there's a role for Wildlife Services there. I won't say any more about that. Nick, if people want to support your efforts to preserve large predators, wolves, what's the info? Where do we go to get more?
Yeah, please go to our website at www.caskwild.org.
And anyone who missed that, we'll have all that information at the front desk. Nick, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad to have you on the show today.
Thanks, welcome. Chris. Appreciate it.
And we want to speak now with Chauncey Pelche. As we just recapped, June 26, 1975. So Leonard Peltier has been essentially incarcerated for, 50 years? And now he's not well. And I just want to reinforce the fact that Chauncey Pelche has been tireless for all of those years, all those decades. And the name Leonard Peltier used to be on everyone's lips, and unjust incarceration used to be on everyone's mind. And that indeed has diminished over the years. It's almost in parallel to the destruction of habitat for large predators and that we just spoke about, and the role that they play in the life of Indigenous people. Leonard Peltier's role, there has been no one like him in the interim while he's been locked up. Chauncey, can you give us a recap on how he's doing right now?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can. Thanks. And again, welcome back to the KBOO Airwaves. We're glad to have you today. We're honored to have you today.
All right. Well, thank you. For people out there who don't know me, my name is Chauncey Pelteer. I'm Leonard Peltier's oldest son. My father's a Turtle Mountain Chippewa. My mom's a Fort Totten Sioux. And Leonard Peltier is one of the longest held political prisoners in the world, one of the biggest rights violation cases in history. And here about 3 weeks ago, Leonard got diagnosed with an aneurysm. And we got him cleared to go to the Mayo Clinic. And we're waiting for the prison to ship his health records to the Mayo Clinic, for the prison to bring him to the Mayo Clinic so they can work on this aneurysm. Leonard's aneurysm, it's in his lower abdomen, and they seem to be got blood thinners and everything to take care of it right now, but it sounds like it's going to be a while before they get, like, if that aneurysm blows up, it could be seconds or minutes, and Leonard's life will be over.
So in prisons, the medical care is very bad to non-existent, and they can take their own sweet time shipping the records. That should be one tap on a computer keyboard to send that. There's no need to. I don't know what kind of a story they have made up about shipping boxes of files. Of course, it's absurd. Of course, it's all sitting there on someone's computer. What have you been able to do to expedite, to put pressure on prison officials to get the records sent immediately?
We're asking everybody to call the Federal Bureau of Prisons and ask for medical attention for Leonard Peltier immediately. It's basically up to the Federal Bureau of Prisons to bring Leonard to the hospital, to the doctor. He's in a maximum security prison. Leonard Peltier, they ain't gonna cater to Leonard Peltier, let alone any prisoners. This might be an easy way out for him. If this explodes, then Leonard goes away. This might be a good excuse for Obama to let him out the back door. When you're in prison, you ain't on top of the priorities, so the Leonard's got a lot of supporters out there, and I agree with him. He should get a medical attention immediately, but that ain't the way it works when you're in a federal maximum security prison.
the thing too that you have to wonder is, but what's in those records, and perhaps there's evidence of gross negligence, mistreatment. We don't know what's in there, but letting that out into the outside world, anyone at the Mayo Clinic who read through that carefully might find something. And in any case, if someone has an aneurysm, it doesn't matter what's in the records. You treat the aneurysm. You don't need records to treat an aneurysm. That's absurd. That's an excuse to delay treatment. Another way of murdering him. I doubt very much they expected Dunner to survive this long in a maximum security prison. He apparently is still a serious danger to the white powers that be. So you're working again. You have a gallery. You sell paintings by. We've got like 2 or 3 minutes left. So Chelsea, if you could just tell listeners how they can support your work and do our best, I guess we should say, to keep Leonard alive and make sure he receives proper medical treatment. Make sure everyone knows what will happen if he does not receive proper medical treatment.
Yeah, so that's where we're at, the committee. Who is LeonardPeltier.info? That's the one I'm the director of. That's the one that those are the ones I picked as a team that Leonard asked me to work with, that I felt that was after Leonard's actual freedom and didn't have any agendas on their books. So yeah, who is LeonardPeltier.info? That's the one Chauncey Peltier is director of. We are asking everybody to call the Federal Bureau of Prisons and start asking for medical attention immediately for Leonard Peltier.
Thank you so much for that, Chauncey. We thank you again and again. We send heartfelt wishes for Leonard to be released immediately. Today, this is Big Air Cascadia for Wednesday, February 3rd, 2016. Judy Feistel engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Judy. Kathleen Stevenson, the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.